droughts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $7.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Catherine Albrecht, and we're going to be talking about GPS census. And I think this is a very important issue. Catherine, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, hey, Dr. Stan, you know, as the census draws closer, it's coming up April 1st of 2010, there are a lot of people getting very concerned about what's happening right now with these census takers out there getting GPS coordinates of our homes. So I've been doing lots of radio, lots of interviews on this topic, and I think it's one that your listeners should certainly be apprised of.
Well, I'm so pleased that you're going to be talking about that. I understand they've hired something like 140,000 census takers, some ridiculous number.
You know, we've really got to put this in perspective, Dr. Stan. You got 140,000 census takers, each one charged with physically visiting over 1,000 residences, which leads you to, you know, like 140 million different homes across the country. It's actually more than that. And the scope of this data collection is beyond anything in my experience. And I've been following these issues for 10 years, looking at the extensive data collection that is occurring on every front and all these databases being collected on us. There is nothing. This is absolutely unprecedented. To my knowledge, there has never before in the history of humanity been a time when human beings have traveled from home to home, logging into some sort of recorded database, the information on every physical residence in which human beings dwell. It is absolutely mind-blowing to think that these people are going out right now and doing that. And then when we traced it back, what we discovered is that this is part of a United Nations plan, which I'm sure doesn't surprise you, but it may actually surprise your listeners, that we discovered a 2004 United Nations document which specifically calls for, in that particular case in 2004, for third world or developing countries to have every residence in them GPS identified. So what that means is someone goes in the third world, and now, of course, in the United States here, 6 years later, goes to every residence, and whether it's a grass hut, whether it's an ice igloo, if there even are such things, whether it's a condominium, an apartment building, a mansion, someone from the government will physically travel to every human habitation on planet Earth and carry with them a GPS handheld locating device. When they get at the front door or anywhere within 40 feet of the front door, they press a button on this GPS device, which then calculates the precise coordinates, the latitude and the longitude of where they're standing, and then they take that information and they upload it into a giant global database. Inconceivable what is happening.
And I think it's fascinating, you know, because we think about the things going on here. We really don't understand this is a global effort. And it is not simply for the American people. It's for everyone in the world to be marked.
Well, that's really what it's coming down to. And it's horrifying to have to realize that. But see, when we take this in isolation, you might be like, well, gee, that's crazy. But when you look at the big picture, it is chilling.
Well, we keep trying to tell people the ultimate plan is a one-world government, a one-world financial system, a one-world currency, and a one-world religion. Because unless, of course, you look at it from the spiritual point of view, it really doesn't make sense. And once you look at it from the conspiratorial point of view, why you realize that there is a conspiracy against God. This is what it's all about. It's always been there. But it's coming to culmination. We are living in the most exciting times in the history of mankind. And we're going to be back in just a moment here with Catherine Albrecht. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Catherine Albrecht, I should say Dr. Catherine Albrecht, she has her PhD from Harvard, but she's been tracking this effort to track us and this effort to have RFID identification of every thing, every animal, every object, every person. And this is the ultimate plan, but certainly she's pointing out today that there is a plan so they can mark your home, and under the guise of a census. Now, supposedly the census was simply to count the number of people to facilitate reapportionment here in America, but the people who are really working behind the scenes aren't interested in reapportionment. They're interested in collecting data, giant databases, so they can track every living human being, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. And Catherine was simply pointing out that this is a UN program, and they're going into the underdeveloped countries where they have a little grass hut someplace. But don't you worry, somebody goes there with one of these little GPS meters and suddenly presses a button, and now they have a record in the gigantic database exactly where that little grass hut is. Or, as she said, maybe it's even an igloo, but wherever it would be. Why, they're tracking everybody in the world. And you pick up the story, Catherine.
Yeah, well, here's the document that I want to refer people to that would explain why 140,000 census takers are costing us over $11 per hour to walk the streets. And when I say walk the streets, there is not a street, a road, an alley, a rural route in the United States that will not be physically walked by an actual census counter in this country. They are going to go to every single door in this country between now, actually this started about a month and a half ago, and July 1st, with this handheld GPS unit going as close as they can get to your front door. Even if you have a chain across your driveway, if you have a long driveway, if you have a fence there, they are instructed to somehow get to within 40 feet of your front door, right to it if they can, and then record those census coordinates right down to the exact minutes and seconds of your longitude and latitude. Now, a lot of us, when we first heard about this, said, why would the U.S. Census Bureau expend this enormous amount of money? They already have the addresses of the homes that the census forms will be mailed to in March of 2010. Why would they need to know the GPS coordinates of your home? It made no sense to any of us. And then someone did some digging and found this document from the United Nations Secretariat, Department of Economic and Social Affairs Statistics Division. It's dated September 3rd, 2004.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with all of our stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan and our guest Catherine Albrecht, and she's talking about this United Nations document that somebody had found. Because really, why would they spend all of the hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars here in the United States just to get the location of our homes where they already know we send in our income tax form? They know where we live. So why do they want the GPS coordinates? And this can be done just with a little gadget. And all they have to do is get close to your home, and then they push the button, and it's indelibly recorded, and then we'll be put in the great database, wherever that is. But why do they want to do it, Catherine?
Well, according to this document dated September 3rd, 2004, it is from, and I'm going to give all the details because I know your listeners are detailed people, it is from the United Nations Expert Group meeting to review critical issues relevant to the planning of the 2010 round of population and housing censuses, plural. So it is not just the United States, according to the Constitution, which has this 10-year census, but it is now a UN effort worldwide every 10 years to do a census in every country on the globe. They are pushing for it. They've gotten it in most countries. And they literally are going door to door, house to house, across not just the United States, but the world. Now, the title of this document is Integration of GPS, Digital Imagery, that would be photographs, GIS, that's Geographic Information Systems, with Census Mapping. And all of this is going together, and it is being created by the United Nations Statistics Division. Now, if you look in this document, which is a PDF document available, I actually have the copy that I just brought up. It's from channelingreality.com. If you look on page 4 of this UN document, you will see a page where they've got a photo. And I've got to say, it's a drawing. What they show are 6 red arrows pointing at something that is looks like a big cylinder that says GDB, Global Database. And going into this global database are the following. Censuses and surveys, and they show a guy. Maps, they show a map of Africa in this case. Surveying, they show a handheld GPS unit. Aerial photography, they show an airplane. Remote sensing, there is a satellite, presumably with a camera on it, looking down at Earth. And we know that those systems are sophisticated enough that they can pick a dime out of your off of your back deck if they chose to. And then GPS. So these 6 different things all have arrows pointing to them, aiming at this global database. And then on the side, there is a little explanation. Data acquisition will occur from those 6 sources. Data management will occur through the global database. And dissemination of the information will occur through GIS, or Geographic Information Systems. Now, up above that, it specifically says, geographic information is about the management of data that are geographically referenced in order to provide sound information for better decisions. Geographic information is emerging as a fundamental part of the national infrastructure, as important as physical infrastructure assets like roads, telecommunications, and other basic utilities. Indeed, there is a growing awareness worldwide of the economic importance of geographic information with application in many sectors: regional planning, land management, environmental natural resources, healthcare, transportation, urban systems, and marketing studies. Looking at that going, now hang on a minute. You need to know the precise coordinates of my front door as the census for marketing studies? For healthcare? I mean, the concept that this information would ever wind up in the hands of people doing marketing studies or healthcare is horrifying to me. But, you know, you can take it to the next step and say, well, what other things have people's precise GIS or GPS coordinates been used for? And the answer to that is utterly chilling. You can use it to aim satellites directly at a property to see if there are people walking in and out of the property, if there are children playing in the backyard, if there's excess cars parked in the driveway. Those coordinates enable those satellites in outer space to pinpoint particular locations. And more disturbing still, exact GPS coordinates have allowed for the precision bombing of certain homes and residences in Afghanistan and Iraq as part of the so-called war on terror. So if a foreign government, I'm not going to step quite into the mire and accuse our government of having plans for this, but if a foreign government or a foreign terrorist were to come into possession of these databases that link our precise GPS coordinates with all of the details that we provide on the census form, which is names, ages, dates of birth, race of the people living in that particular location, you could conceivably, I'm not saying anybody's doing it, but it could happen, you could pinpoint all of the people of a particular race within a particular nation and aim weapons at them. I mean, it's really chilling.
And there really are people who have an intense hatred of certain specific racial groups. That's a rather frightening thing. And having read some of the things put out by the other side, when they talk almost with excitement about the idea of being able to develop diseases for certain specific races, to kill off certain specific races, this is not that far-fetched. Anybody wants to know that, go to the PNAC website, Project for the New American Century, and that's the Neocon website, which Cheney and Rumsfeld belong and pull down? There's something on rebuilding America's defenses, or it's in our Iraq, the Untold Story syllabus. They talk about these genetic diseases to kill certain specific people. We're dealing with people who have a different worldview, but I think what's really so chilling is the fact that, you know, we are funding, I'm sure, much of what's going on. We fund about a quarter of the activities of the United Nations. We give them money, and then, of course, all these things are going on throughout the world to track everybody in the world. I think that the people, you know, sort of think that this, well, they're just collecting information. No, they're not collecting information for a census. They're collecting information not for reapportionment, but so they can track the American people. And we put up all this money for satellites, you know, so we can track the wicked communists. But we're not tracking the wicked communists with them. We're tracking the American people. And where is the outcry other than perhaps you and me?
Well, that's the part that is just stunning here. And I think as more Americans become aware of precisely what's happening with the Census Bureau and how it has gone so far beyond its original constitutional charter to simply do an enumeration, to simply count the number of people within each state for appropriate congressional representation, it has now grown to the point where this is an enormous bureaucracy with a huge budget. One thing that people probably should be aware of when we're speaking of race as well is that this information that is collected by the census, which never in the Constitution did it say anything about race, but that is a question you are required by law to answer on your census form. And failure to answer it, by the way, can result in a fine of $100. Providing false information in response to any question on the census can result in a fine of $500. It's unclear whether that's per census form or per question. So if you look at all the questions on there, you could actually get into a huge sum of money. But no one has ever been prosecuted under those particular statutes.
But they just try to intimidate us. Everything is about fear. If you don't do what the government says, they're coming after you, and they're going to fine you. And where did they get the right to do that? This is not what the census was about. But apparently they have a different agenda than our founding fathers.
Well, yes, and one of the things on this sort of intimidation that you're talking about, I've seen people posting on blogs who've had these census people come out to their homes, and they've actually been told erroneously that if they failed to respond, if they failed to allow the census worker on their property, if they failed to fill out the forms, that they would call the federal marshals and have them come out. The reality is that I believe the Census Bureau is living in fear of a lawsuit, because I would love to see a federal-level lawsuit challenging these very invasive practices. And I believe one of the reasons why the Census Bureau has yet to actually levy a fine against someone is it would give them standing in court to actually file that lawsuit. So I think for now they are kind of playing chicken, as it were, sort of playing in the street and jumping out of the way of the cars, that they don't want to have to levy a fine against someone who is opposing this on philosophical or political grounds. Because once someone does that and they actually are fined, then they can prove damage in a court of law and actually go after this whole census structure. Now, there's some other pieces to the census people should be aware of. I want to get back to the issue of race quickly. We were talking about the potential, as you talked about, to create, you know, drugs and viruses that would target people of specific races. And it is problematic, to say the least, to answer the race question on a census form. Let me give you a couple of reasons why. In the 1940s, the census data was used by the wartime powers to identify the specific home addresses of people who had indicated that they were of Japanese-American ancestry in the 1940 and the 1930 censuses. And those people, based on that information that they had provided in the census, which by law was not supposed to be accessed for any reason, they obtained that information, went to those addresses, sent letters to those addresses, and told those Japanese-American citizens that they were to report for internment camps. And they were, of course, rounded up and placed in those internment camps, lost their property, lost their homes, and were placed out in the desert in shacks, essentially. So that was done. They were identified and rounded up on the basis of the census. Well, a lot of people say, well, that was wartime. That was 1940s. We've come a long way. Here we are, you know, 60, 70 years later. Things are different today. And I would point out that there have been two more recent cases that I think should give people pause about the powers of the senses. And those are actually quite disturbing with regard to race as well.
Oh, go right ahead, Noel. I'll let you know when we have to take the break.
All right. Well, in 2004, the Washington Times reported that NASA had actually asked for and received 5 million census records. Now, this is very chilling. They were working with Northwest Airlines, so they got all of the records from Northwest Airlines, and then they identified the names of people who'd flown Northwest and asked for their census records, so they knew their addresses, their dates of birth, their citizenship, their race, and everything else, and they worked with those two sets of data to create a passenger pre-screening program for flights within the U.S. and internationally. That was a clear violation of law, and we only know
hold
about
that, hold it. Hold that off right there. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so this idea that NASA was able to obtain 5 million census records and link them up with the passenger records from Northwest Airlines. Actually, they did it the other way around from what I can tell. They got the Northwest Airlines passenger records of who flew where and when on Northwest Airlines. They then took those names and put in a request to the Census Bureau, and they were able to obtain the census data, home addresses, all of the information. If those people had filled out the long form of the census, which was completed in the year 2000, they also knew incredibly detailed information about them, their annual salary, what time they left for work in the morning, how long their commute was, whether they had difficulty bathing themselves, whether they were in a marriage or simply a romantic partnership, whether that partnership was with someone of the opposite gender or not, all sorts of details, whether there was a grandmother watching grandkids in the home, you name it, they knew it. And NASA was never authorized under the U.S. Constitution to have access to any of that information. And yet, the Washington Times was able to reveal in 2004 that this information was turned over to NASA. Totally inappropriate. And it may be an aside, but I should also point out that Google, which I believe is quickly becoming the biggest privacy menace we face today, has actually now got 1 million square feet of office space within NASA headquarters. And if that doesn't give you pause, that NASA has been working on census records and passenger pre-screening together with airline data, I mean, that is so far away from what most of us envision NASA is doing. We picture them sending people out into outer space, but they are apparently deeply involved in the database agenda of this country. And now we learn that they are working with Google and providing Google with 1 million inconceivable amounts of space, 1 million square feet of office space within NASA headquarters to do what? We don't know, but if you took census records, airline flight records, and combined them with our search information from Google, our Gmail accounts, our front door as identified by Google Street View, our backyards as identified by Google Maps, and you put it all together, you would have a dossier on every person, not just in America, but on the globe, that would make your worst evil dictator nightmare absolutely rub his hands together and salivate, because we are talking about a level of dossier of information that even the KGB in Eastern Germany at the height of its invasion into people's lives could not have even dreamt of coming up with anything close.
Well, you know, I think it's very interesting that they went around at about three or four or five years ago, posing the people from the Secret Service went around the Department of Motor Vehicles to buy up the photographs that the Department of Motor Vehicles had of people. And you know,
who did this?
Oh yeah, yeah. We actually the articles came out of South Carolina. We actually got that, and of course they were very, very embarrassed when they found out. Secret Service.
Oh,
and they were working for the Secret Service, and they actually went around. Have you ever noticed, certainly on the television programs, you know, when the police are going to look up, you know, dossiers on somebody, and they may not necessarily be criminals, but they always seem to have their pictures. Have you noticed that?
That's right.
And they really do. They went all across at least a half a dozen states and bought up the pictures from the Department of Motor Vehicles. And really how extensive that got, whether they did it all across the country. But it was very embarrassing when, of course, it became obvious that these government officials were lying to the Department of Motor Vehicles, certainly in the southern part of the United States. So everything is in place. I'm sure they have our fingerprints. They have our pictures. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I was just mentioning how the Secret Service, posing as representatives of a private computer company that wanted to put together software so it could be used in stores, and you went in to cast a check, and they would have your picture there from the Department of Motor Vehicles to be sure it was you. At least that's what we were told, or at least the Department of Motor Vehicles was told. And so they sold pictures of the people in South Carolina and a number of other states to these people posing as from a private company, but they were really from the Secret Service. So this was a number of years ago that they were actually getting all of this information amassed, the extensive dossiers on every American citizen. Now, how is that going to protect us from Osama bin Laden, who we're told is hiding in a cave in Pakistan? And it's not going to. I believe that they want information because information is control. Go right ahead.
Well, and that's really what this does boil down to. And I think what people need to recognize and realize is that our Constitution protects us from these things, or at least it is supposed to protect us from this kind of warrantless search. I mean, that's essentially what they're doing. Searching information about you, recording information about you when you have not been specifically identified as a suspect in a crime. And I don't like living in a country where every single law-abiding, upstanding, moral person, such as yourself, myself, all of the people listening, where we have no criminal intent, and yet we are being included in a dragnet of information of every person in the nation. And that was exactly the kind of abuse that our founding fathers set out to prevent when they crafted the Constitution and when they put in those protections in the Fourth Amendment to protect us from that. So unless we stand up and begin crying out about this and begin actually calling the government on this issue, it will continue. It is the nature of government to impose itself upon people until people stand up and fight back. And government will always do this. You cannot count on them to voluntarily relinquish the forms of control that they can obtain. It is up to the people to ensure that those abuses don't happen. And I think that's why a lot of us, especially the last couple of generations, my generation really kind of sat around through the 80s and the 90s, and we did not get involved. We didn't do anything. So because of that, I really believe that the natural order of things, it's kind of like if you have a backyard and you never mow and you never weed and you never do anything, then you shouldn't be surprised when a bunch of weeds spring up. It is the nature of things for weeds to grow on untended property. Well, the same thing is true with government. If people do not attend the meetings, do not hold their feet to the fire, these public officials who by their very nature want to usurp your control over your life and your privacy, then they will grow like weeds. And that's exactly what we, the American people, and myself included among them, that's what we allowed to happen by failing to be politically active and socially aware during the 80s and the 90s. And now those chickens are coming home to roost. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us. Those of us who want to restore liberty in this country, we've got a lot of damage to undo. But I don't think it's too late. I do think that the country is coming back together again, and that a lot of thinking, thoughtful, intelligent people have joined the fight for liberty. And that's a good thing.
Oh, I think it is, too, and I think that certainly the all of the tea parties they had here earlier this year, I think a lot of these people don't understand what it's about, but they resent the increased government control over their lives. They resent the taxation. We seem to be taxing our people and then sending our money over to seas. We're having to borrow between $2.5 and $3 billion every day. And yet we're giving money away and foreign aid to other countries. What sort of madness is that? People know something's seriously wrong, and our job, and your job specifically, is to connect the dots, especially as far as this effort to identify and track every individual in the United States. And they're putting up their video cameras every place. All we're told is wonderful. Now we can track the bad guys. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not to track the bad guys. This is to monitor the people.
And the bad guys, what this does is it allows the bad guys to take a key role in government and to be ensured that no one will ever depose them, oust them from office, vote them out of office, etc. This really is being put in place by the bad guys. I think that's what so many people who have this blind, un, uncritical trust of government has failed to recognize is that the bad guys frequently are the very people that we are entrusting with guns and weapons and power over us. And that's a dangerous thing in any society.
Well, of course, we all know Lord Acton's statement about absolute power corrupts absolutely, but one of the United States senators sat in my studio where I'm sitting today. He left the Senate and he lives over in the Monterey area across the bay from us. But he said, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely everyone. And I think that that is absolutely true. So we're going to be back in just a moment with Catherine Albrecht. But what we're seeing is the concentration of power with government and a total disrespect for the law. And that, of course, what the Chrysler takeover is all about. We don't care what the law is. We're going to do what we want to. And if we don't, if you object, we're going to get you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest, of course, is Catherine Albrecht, and we're just talking a little bit, just mentioning the Chrysler bailout. And of course, there were a number of people who had a claim, a very legitimate claim, a first senior claim on the assets of Chrysler if they went into bankruptcy, and they would have been able to get at least part of the money that they'd invested back. We have laws in America, but of course the Obama administration had a different plan. They wanted to transfer the control of a large segment of Chrysler to Fiat Motor Company, not on an open bid, and not on the opportunity of people to give it to the highest bidder, but to the Fiat Company, in my estimation, because the CEO of Fiat just happens to be a member of the Trilateral Commission, and of course Mr. Obama has 11 members of the Trilateral Commission in key positions in his cabinet, advising him on all sorts of issues. But what was frightening about this, Catherine, was that you read the papers very carefully, you'll find out that many of these people who had the same claims, hedge fund managers, financial managers, pension fund managers, said they had death threats. They had calls from the White House saying, we will destroy you. We will destroy your reputation if you object to our program. You will take the 29 cents on the dollar, and that is it, and we will destroy you if you object. And, of course, what this does is basically ends the rule of law in this country. Well, of course, you could always appeal it to the Obama administration. Who are we going to appeal to when the presidential White House is involved in criminal activity? And that's just what this was.
Unbelievable. And, you know, that's why one of the reasons why I think it is so crucial that we fight back against this desire to monitor our travels, our income, our source of income, all of these things, because ultimately the reason why dictators historically have wanted to have enormous amounts of information about the people that they had control over was to prevent them from dissenting. Because if you know enough about someone, you know where they work, you know where they live, you know all of this information about them, you know their extended family, then you know where to apply the pressure to cause people to stop dissenting. And in this future world that is being created right now, where even travel, where you have to ask the government
hold that thought, hold that thought, we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Catherine was just saying that they are accumulating massive amounts of information on every citizen. People think, well, I've never done anything bad. Why should I be worried, you know? They're only people who have to worry are the people who do bad things. Well, as she suggested, many of those people who do bad things are working for government. No, they want to know the things about the law-abiding citizens so they can control them. But before we go on, Catherine, I want you to get out your web address and where people can get your information.
Well, absolutely. I would recommend, if people are interested in these sorts of topics, I have a daily radio program. I'm on Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, and they can get all the details at CatherineAlbrecht.com. That is my my main website these days, KatherineAlbrecht.com. And the other thing I want to let people know, we did talk briefly about Google and about the huge amounts of information that they have been amassing about people. And I have been urging anyone within the freedom movement, please stop using Google. Google is recording all of your searches. They know who has an interest in Second Amendment topics. They know who has an interest in, you know, you name it. If it's one of these freedom-oriented topics, they know if you've been searching for it. And believe me, when we get to the point of rounding people up, and I believe that that point will happen because it has happened in every other previous regime going down this road, then that will be the first place they will go to see whether you are quote-unquote loyal to the state or whether you are one of these doubters or dissenters. So stop using Google. Do not go onto Google to search for these things. There is an alternative. I'm a huge fan of a company called IxQuick, IxQuick. Nobody can spell it, so I have convinced the company to offer an alternative name, and that is StartPage, like start caring about your privacy with StartPage. I would urge everybody to switch over, stop using the main search engines, MSN, Yahoo, and all the other, you know, ask.com, Google especially, and switch over to startpage.com because they do not record your IP address and they do not have any record of you or your searches. So you can go on there and search for anything you want and it will not be in anybody's database. And I'm not sure how much longer that service will be with us, but while it is here, we need to absolutely avail ourselves of it and support that company to the extent we can.
Are they a Danish company?
They are actually Dutch. They're Dutch. From the Netherlands, and they have received third-party certification from an organization called Europrize, which has gone in. I've actually gone in. I've looked at their books. I signed a non-disclosure agreement before I would support them or promote them, and they let me into their internal data workings. And I got to tell you, I sat there along with my husband, who is a database expert, and we were really incredibly impressed at how thorough they are in ensuring that no data from anything that you do on their website goes to anybody or even to them. They erase it the second they get it and overwrite it with zero. So I was really impressed with what they do. They are Dutch. I've met with their senior executives. They flew out here for a meeting in New York, and I got to tell you, they're good people. They're family people. They are God-fearing people, and I have the highest respect for what they're doing. So I will be the first to let you know if anything changes on that front. But for right now, you are absolutely guaranteed that Google makes a record of everything you search for and that they are using those records in a variety of ways that I think would absolutely chill your bones if you saw it. And anybody within our movement who continues to use Google must be doing it either out of whistling through the graveyard and pretending the threat isn't real. And, you know, we always warn other people about that, but there are people in our movement doing the same thing, or perhaps just because they have not heard the information. But once you hear it, you've got to make the switch. People must stop using that Google database.
In fact, I put the start page on my list of favorite sites, and I go there regularly now, and I've been very, very pleased with their information.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I really do think if there's one thing we can do right now that's easy, that doesn't cost us anything, and that's the other thing, it's free, that is a quick and easy way to at least try to take some of your data out of the database. You can't get your house off of the Google Google Street View necessarily. You can't necessarily get yourself out of the census GPS tracking, but you can get your personal searches out of Google pretty easily by just making that one switch.
And I think that these multi-billion dollar corporations are in bed with government and, of course, are willing to collect data for the government. I mean, one thing we can do if enough people just say, we're not going to use Google anymore. Why? Of course, their stock had become worthless literally overnight. So help get the word out, Catherine, sounding the alarm like Paul Revere, and we should be responding. I agree. Our telephone number, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a call on this specific subject, this effort to simply track the American people. Well, go right ahead, Catherine.
Yeah, well, I've got one other. I gave your listeners two examples of how census data had been abused. And when I say census data, I'm referring particularly to the racial information. We know that it was used during World War II to round up the Japanese for internment in what today I guess we would refer to as concentration camps. We also have another case that was uncovered by uncovered by EPIC, the Electronic Privacy Information Center. Those are colleagues of mine out of Washington, D.C. that do great work on privacy. They filed a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request, and in 2004 they obtained documents that absolutely were chilling about the census. What they found was that the Census Bureau, in violation of law, provided the Department of Homeland Security with statistical data on people who had identified themselves in the 2000 census as being of Arab ancestry. We don't know what they did with that. We don't know how extensively they used that information, but we do know that they asked for it and they were given it. So right now, you know, you may say, well, I'm not worried. I'm not Arab. You know, what happens when down the road it becomes a different ethnic group? What happens when it becomes people who are, you know, potentially people who are Christian, people who are viewed as a threat to the status quo? And Christians, for some reason, seem to repeatedly come up in these kinds of government purges that happen worldwide. And the reason many people propose that that is the case is that Christians, unlike other folks, people who do not necessarily have a strong religious bent, that Christians believe that they are responding to a higher responsibility and to a higher calling. And when the mandates of the government become oppressive and immoral, it is oftentimes the Christian community that says, no, I won't turn in my neighbor for being Jewish, or no, I won't turn in my neighbor for being Hutu or Tutsi, as they did in the Rwandan genocide. Christians oftentimes are the ones who resist those government mandates, and so as a result, they are frequently persecuted by their governments. So the one good news we have in all of this, you are not required to state your religion on the census, but people are required to state their race and even their race. When I say race, I'm not just saying Caucasian, black, white, Hispanic, Asian. They have incredible levels of detail as to what country your origin is from. That's how they were able to identify the Japanese Americans during World War II. They want to know, are you Croatian? Are you Irish? Are you English? Are you Welsh? Are you, you know, British? Fill in the blank. They want to know that level of detail. And we're required by law to fill it out, apparently.
Well, who made those laws? Do we have any idea? Has Congress ever passed this law? Is this a law? Or is this just a bureaucratic edict?
There's a couple of pieces to this that I think people need to understand. One of them, the Constitution itself states, and it's one of those ambiguous portions of the Constitution that makes us just want to hit the framers upside the head and go, yo, I wish you could have seen this coming. In Article 1, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution, It actually calls for the enumeration, and that's enumeration means account, E-N-U-M, enumeration, account. They say that the enumeration shall be made within 3 years after the first meeting of the Congress, so that's historical, that's way back then. But then it goes on, so the enumeration shall be made within every subsequent term of 10 years in such manner as they shall by law direct. And I'll tell you, our Congress critters today, the Department of the Census, have taken advantage of that term beyond any wildest dreams of the framers of the Constitution. When it says, in such manner as they shall by law direct, they have interpreted that to mean that they can pass laws to modify or add to the way in which the census information is collected. So right now, here's what you have to provide on your census if you get what's called the short form. These will be distributed in March of 2010. They'll be collected on April 1st, on April Fool's Day, which I thought was ironic. So April Fool's Day, the big joke on the nation, we will all be turning in our census forms. And you are required to state your name, your date of birth, your obviously your home address, your race, and in addition, you have to state the names, dates of births and ages of all the people and race of all the people residing in your household and their relationship to the head of the household. Now, that's if you get what's called the short form. Now, people may recall in 2000, 9 years ago, there was a big outcry because the census had introduced something called the long form. That was a very invasive questionnaire that went out to 1 in 6 Americans that asked them detailed questions on things like their income, whether they had difficulty bathing themselves, the number of bathrooms in their homes, whether they had a kitchen, how far they had to drive to work, what time they left for work. I mean, very invasive questions. And many people at that time rebelled. I mean, they just simply said, I will not answer this long form. It's invasive. So what the Census Bureau has done now, they've changed this a little bit, I think made it worse. They've now introduced something called the American Community Survey. Instead of being every 10 years, as the census dictates, this long form of the census with these 70 detailed questions is now mailed out to millions of Americans every year, annually. You are required by law to answer and tell the federal government what your income is, whether you have difficulty bathing yourself, all these things I just talked about. And if you fail to answer that, again, you're subject to a $100 penalty or a $500 penalty. Plus, census workers knocking on your door, knocking on your neighbor's doors, asking if you fail to fill out the information, getting your neighbors to fill it out for you. Very, very invasive stuff. So we are, I'm hoping that someone at some point will mount a lawsuit against this, will actually be levied the $500 fine for providing, oh, I don't know, Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck on their form, and actually take this to court and say this is not within your constitutional purview. You are not given a right to know this. And then when we look at this UN document that actually specifies that they want this for marketing surveys, I mean, come on. Why would I let any marketer, why would I even let my friends know my annual income? Why would I want the government, census workers, to have that information when they have demonstrated in the past that they will not keep it confidential, that they will share it with NASA and Homeland Security and anybody else who asks them for it? I don't trust them.
I don't trust them either. In fact, I mean, you really wonder, you know, we always hear, you know, somebody just happened to just lose a laptop computer with, you know, the personal information of 50,000 or 500,000 Americans and their Social Security numbers. And, I mean, what a wonderful opportunity for identity theft. I mean, and certainly if they know your Social Security number and your age and your mother's name and all those things, why, they can wreak all sorts of havoc. And why should we feel that government workers wouldn't utilize that for their own personal advantage? Well, let's go to Don, who's calling from Florida, and see if he has a question. Don, do you have a question for our guest? Don, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah.
Do you have a question?
Yeah.
What is the question?
Quick Start.
What's that?
How do you pronounce it? What is that, a search engine?
It's called Start Page.
Start Page?
Start Page, yes. You can get it there. Okay.
Oh, let me point out that that search engine called StartPage, the easy way is Start Caring About Your Privacy, switch to StartPage. When you go there, at least for probably the next couple of weeks, it will redirect you to IxQuick, I-X-Q-U-I-C-K, which is their homepage. It's the same deal, same privacy, same everything. I just told them that nobody could spell IxQuick. Everybody was trying to spell it with all sorts of extra letters. So I just said, why don't we just call it Start Page, and it'll redirect you to the IxQuick website. And, by the way, I'm thrilled that we got a call on that and that people are actually taking that issue seriously. I think that's a good indication that hopefully we can get at least the freedom community off onto a much better track when it comes to privacy on the Internet.
Okay, anything else, Don? I guess we lost Don. Let's go to Bill, who's calling from Florida. Hi, Bill, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, I'm using that IxQuick, but I'll change it over to the other. But how do you get rid of the Google part up at the top of your screen? There's a toolbar that has a Google search and my web search that are up above that evidently are remnants of Google or
right, fine. Well, you just don't go there, and you don't have anything to worry about. If you don't go there, they're not going to be able to track you.
Well, actually, StartPage has, or IxQuick / StartPage, has a feature on their website that might answer your question. If you go to startpage.com or ixquick.com, and you will see right there on the homepage, it'll say add IxQuick to your browser. So what you're thinking about, when you go onto your browser, when you open up Firefox or Safari or Internet Explorer, what you'll see right there on up in the corner, it'll say, you know, use this, go to Google to search. If you click Add IxQuick to your browser, it will replace that with the IxQuick search engine, and the Google will go away.
Okay, Bill, that should answer your question. Take care of it.
Okay, thank you.
God bless. Okay, fine. Well, of course, we've just got a couple of minutes more. Of course, our guest is Catherine Albrecht, and she's been researching these privacy issues for such a long time. It's vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, that you understand we're living in a different world. We have people who hold the reins of power who have a different worldview, because many of them, in my estimation, worship a different God, and they want a different world than we've lived in the past. They really do honestly believe that we need a new ruling class, a one-world government, a one-world currency, and specifically the destruction of Judeo-Christian morals and this institution of a new world religion. And we have real problems today within our churches. We have real problems in every aspect of life because most people do not understand that there is an overriding view. It's an overriding desire on their part. They've been working for a long, long time to get to where we are today. And they're almost there. They're moving very, very quickly. Don't you think, Catherine?
You know, I do, and if I could, I want to mention to your listeners that I'm actually working on a book. I've written it, and I'm getting it illustrated now. It's a children's book. I'm not sure if I've mentioned it on your show before, but it's a children's book on the Mark of the Beast, specifically because these cultural values, particularly the prophecies in the Bible that talk about this time we're coming into right now, are things that we're not doing a very good job transmitting to the next generation. So that should be, it's being illustrated right now. It'll go to the printer shortly, and I hope to have it ready by Christmas. And it's called I Won't Take the Mark, and it's for children ages 4 to 7. So if people want to get on our mailing list and learn more about that, they can write me. My email address is kma@spychips.com. If you missed that, just go to katherinealbrecht.com. You can find me there.
And I think it's important that people understand that there really is going to be a drive to get the people to take the mark. People go say, well, oh, it's never happened, or if it did, what harm would it do? And, of course, it would doom you and anybody else who takes the mark to eternal damnation. We're not talking about something imaginary. We're talking about something very real. Well, Catherine, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. The hour has flown, as always.
Boy, it certainly does. Well, I want to encourage people, because sometimes when I go on these shows, people say, you depress me so badly. The good news, in 10 years of doing this work as a privacy advocate, as a freedom fighter on the front lines here in the United States, I can tell you I am more optimistic now than I have ever been in the past, and that is because we're no longer alone. There are millions, tens of millions of people, scores of millions of people waking up to these realities, and they are beginning to realize that we've got to take our destiny back into our own hands. They're doing that in a peaceful way, in a Christian way, in a way of informing their fellow co-workers, their family members, their neighbors, and others, and it really is having a huge effect. I think those tea parties were a great indication of that. So I am hopeful, and I want people to keep hope. And the other thing I want to put out there is that if you have not yet found our Savior, Jesus Christ, I want to tell you that that is the only thing, and when I say only, I mean only with a capital O, that is the only thing that's going to save us from all of this. The thing that keeps me going every day, day after day, is my faith that regardless of how the outcome turns out here on earth, and I think it's looking a little bleak for us right now, but regardless of the outcome on earth, if you have that abiding faith and that hope, then you know that things will ultimately turn out well in the end, and especially with regard to some of this stuff related to the Mark of the Beast. I mean, that's really the battle that we're fighting. Dr. Stan, you do such a wonderful job. I'm always thrilled to be on your show because you always talk openly about the fact that this is a spiritual battle. We are not battling flesh and blood. We are battling people who worship a different God. I agree with you completely. I don't even think it's God they're worshiping. I think they're worshiping something entirely frightening and unprecedented in terms of the power it's going to have over the planet. And really the only hope we have is that hope of the saving blood of Jesus Christ. I really believe that.
Well, I agree with you. You know, I've been at this for 46 years. And, you know, I will have to say I'm more optimistic than I've ever been before, because we find people looking for answers, and the people who, you know, are losing their homes, they're losing their jobs, they know something's wrong, they're looking for answers, and they're not going to find it, you know, by watching television or by reading the newspapers or by reading the major news magazines, but they're all going to find it on alternative radio. And I'm just so glad that you're out there, that you have a program on Genesis, that your program is being heard across America, and we have a real great team there on Genesis. I'm just proud to be part and parcel of it.
Isn't it wonderful? I know. And I would urge people, if you enjoy Dr. Stan's show, you might enjoy mine as well. And I'm on GCNLive.com, and I'm there from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Also have all the archives up there, too. Hope to see you there, guys.
Well, Catherine, God bless you. Thank you so very much for being with it. And really, if you're out there in the listening audience, go to Catherine's program. It's a couple of hours every day from 4 to 6 Eastern time. You can go to it at GCNLive.com.
GCNLive.com.
God bless. Bye-bye. We'll talk to you next month. Bye-bye. Okay, well, I hope you enjoy our monthly interviews with Catherine. She always has something worthwhile to say, and she's just a lovely, lovely woman. And we've met her personally and spent some time with her, and we are just privileged to have her here with us at Radio Liberty. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that my ministry is primarily listener-supported, and we've got almost 60 outlets across America. We're actually over that. We've taken the satellite and the shortwave and the Internet, various Internet links. So if you'd like to become part of our family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that you will go to our website of radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can read our newsletters, watch our DVDs, link to the YouTube. We've got a section there of things we think are important, worthwhile YouTubes. And then, of course, you can listen to our programs. You can listen to them live or archived or on satellite or on blog or MP3. And it's all there. It's all free. And you need to tell others about it. We're going to try to educate the people. Now, of course, we've got a great new syllabus. It's called The Membership List of the Brotherhood of Darkness. Entirely different than my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. It's simply the names of all of the people in all of these various organizations. But they are all founded in the occult. Does that mean that everybody who belongs to all these organizations is involved in the occult? Not at all. But they're going along with this. They've been conditioned to believe that the way to the future is with this world government and a ruling elite. And everybody likes to believe that they're part of the ruling elite. And after a while, I believe that these people eventually begin to compromise their principles, and then they become part of this movement. But there really are many other secret organizations that are involved with the worship of a different god. There is a world Luciferian movement. You can go and read about it under Gnosticism. You go to the Lucius Trust website. And, of course, a close working relationship initially between the Lucius Trust came out of something known as the Lucifer Publishing House. And you can go to their website. In fact, you can Google in Lucius Trust and Lucifer and go to their website, and they will tell you the background of their organization. Then they'll have the link to another article saying Lucifer really got a bad rap. He really came to Earth to suffer for humanity. Isn't it nice to know that Lucifer came to Earth to suffer for humanity? And of course, some of the richest people in the world are affiliated with the Lucius Trust organizations or their front organizations. And the fact that you're not hearing about this simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Certainly, we want to mention the Conspiracy Conference. It's going to be held June 6th and June 7th at the Marriott and up in Santa Clara. And if you want more information, certainly go to conspiracycon.com, www.conspiracycon.com. I'll be giving the lead-off speech there on Saturday morning. We want to mention some of the books we're having. We've got Thomas Wood's book on the meltdown. It really goes into the background of what's happening today, Mr. Wood, Professor Woods, with the von Mises Institute. We're carrying the book A Family of Secrets by Russ Baker. Goes into the background of the Bush family and a tremendous amount of information you will never read elsewhere about the 41st and the 43rd presidents of the United States. Again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, if you haven't, of course, seen the Eye of the Phoenix DVD,